Consideration of a resolution approving the site plan for Robber Ale House, Resolution 18-35.
Move to approve.
Okay, move to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, motion by trustee Domeniac, seconded by trustee Paulus.
Mr. Mayor, at this time, I'd like to recuse myself from this discussion.
If you can go sit out in the crowd.
I'll be back.
Thank you, Your Honor. This matter comes.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Yes.
I'm not trying to cause a problem or technicality, but the parties that recuse themselves, are they, since one's stepping down, should both step down, or is it fine to?
Well, it's a matter of whether they're going to attempt to pass, which is one rule, or whether you're recusing yourself completely from all discussion. If you wish to pass, you would sit at the table and say, "Pass." However, your vote would be counted with prevailing party. If you recuse yourself, you sit in the audience, and you cannot be called on to vote at that particular meeting.
Thank you.
And it's up to the individual trustees to make a determination as to what they will do in any particular setting, I would add. It's nothing that I can directly advise them about.
Correct.
Mary's coming back. I think she's going to the band.
Yeah.
You're too close. You're too close. Go away from Mary.
Hey, can you get us a Whopper?
Two Whoppers.
I'm not having one.
Are you going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
There'll be a second here. Trustee Domeniac to get back.
Thank you, Your Honor. As you recall, this matter is coming before you for a site plan review. As you recall, this matter did come before the village board on a concept review at a previous call meeting. Staff has been working with the applicant on a number of major concerns we had as it relates to the overall site plan, specifically the architecture. I wanted just to kind of very briefly review the overall project. The applicant is proposing to convert an existing 6,000-square-foot building, which is vacant on Main Street, to convert that building into a two-story, 9,800-square-foot restaurant. That restaurant would incorporate a beer garden adjacent to the existing municipal parking lot facing Park Avenue. It would also incorporate a outdoor eating on the second floor and also a glass atrium. Overall, again, the applicant's proposal, as we well know, the property is zoned commercial. This use is a permitted use in the village core. The one unique aspect about this project, it's a part of the form-based code. So very briefly, I want to kind of walk you through a site plan. It's important that obviously this building adhere and be consistent with the historical patterns of our downtown. And very briefly, based on staff's report, the applicant's proposed setbacks will still be maintained. There will be a zero setback, so generally it will be reflect and consistent with the overall historical pattern of Main Street. So staff is generally comfortable with the location of the building, the context of the building. Our previous concerns expressed to this village board and planning commissions, we did have some concerns outlined in our previous staff report about the overall architecture. I believe you have in your packet a revised elevation from the applicant's partnership, which I believe generally addresses most of the issues. Specifically, the applicant, I think, has made a substantial progress in trying to design a building, which I think is more historically sensitive, specifically a little more historically sensitive to the two historic bank buildings that we have at the corners of Lake Street and Main Street. I think if you look at the first floor with the overall design, it really reflects those two signature buildings in regards to the State Bank of the Lakes building and the old building over there, the bank building at the other corner. the Opera House, originally the Opera House. The applicant has incorporated what he's proposing to be basically a EFS building, which would have incorporated a series of pilasters on Main Street. They've incorporated a series of arch windows on Main Street. In addition, if you look at the southern facade facing Park Avenue, the applicant has incorporated a series of large bay windows. On the second floor, they have modified the architecture to incorporate a more historical pattern. I think also more importantly, they've incorporated a major modification to the roof line. The new elevations really reflect a historical pattern as well with regards to substantial improvements in regards to cornice line. There's a series of significant cornice both facing Park Avenue and also facing Main Street. So generally, staff is comfortable with the revisions that have been made. And I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you have as it relates to the architecture. With regards to access point, again, contingent on the village board considering a license agreement for the existing parking lot, the applicant is proposing to have a license agreement to being able to use the existing parking lot facing Park Avenue. The existing access points, generally as they are right now, would not change. So those access points on Park Avenue would remain. With regards to parking, and there's been a lot of discussion about parking, so I wanted to very briefly provide the village board with an analysis of the parking. In accordance with the village ordinance, one space per 400 square feet is required. Again, obviously this is a downtown site. We always analyze downtown sites differently than what we would do along a commercial corridor. Obviously this is not Walmart, so shared parking by definition is part and parcel of the analysis of this overall development. As we discussed, downtowns are different animals than commercial corridors. Based on our analysis, 25 parking spaces would be required at a minimum. So based on our analysis, the applicant is providing, assuming there is support sometime in the future for a parking license agreement, there would be 11 parking spaces in addition to a handicap space on the municipal lot adjacent to Park Avenue. We have also identified within approximately between a 1 and 2 minute walk, which I would propose is quite reasonable in a downtown environment, at least 80 parking spaces on Skidmore. There's also, as we know, Main Street has parking spaces. Obviously the Main Street parking is heavily occupied during peak hours, but nevertheless there are some parking spaces on Main Street which will be available for this applicant. There's also potentially parking on Lake Street. And obviously within a five minute walking time, which again, based on good practices, best practices, which is reasonable in the downtown, there would be the Toff Street parking. So in our fundamental analysis, we believe that there is sufficient parking to support approximately 9,800 square foot restaurant. So with that, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you may have for staff. This did receive unanimous support from the Planning Commission.
Trustee Joswiak, any?
Yes, a couple things. One, just for the record, I didn't support the $200,000 giveaway, but the 5-0 vote from the Planning and Zoning, I didn't know they had the right to give away parking like we're talking about here. I think that's a board decision, not Planning and Zoning. So I'd probably like to get that cleared up. Number two, we had an applicant want to do the same thing before, and we couldn't get that done. We're giving away parking that we turned down everybody else for. We had a gentleman that wanted the street where the two bus locations are. We turned him down. I don't believe we ought to be giving away municipality parking. People use that parking lot a lot. The pet store, the grooming store does 45 people, dogs a day, on Saturday especially. So that's 90 trips in there. That's 45 in and 45 out. So I'm a little concerned about that. I don't see how we can allow a second story and a food deck or party deck on top when we had another person in town that wanted to do that, and they were turned down. So I'm concerned about that. I mean, if we're going to play by the rules, we got to play by the same rules for everybody. I mean, it's a beautiful building, I agree, but, you know, we're giving up a lot. I mean, what about Oliveri, for instance? They have enough trouble today getting parking right in front of their place. So those people park over there because we have people that park there that shouldn't park there. We haven't fixed that problem yet. So there's my few questions to start with, if you'd like to address those.
Well, with first respect, with regards to the Planning Commission's support of this overall project, obviously parking was one aspect. Even assuming that this board does not support a dedicated license agreement or conditional license for the parking, it is staff's perspective, based on 20 years of experience, that there is enough parking for one, at least one additional restaurant in the village of Antioch without building a deck. As you well know, based on your experience, a deck typically is between $50,000 to $60,000 per space if you're looking at a deck. So that's realistically what to require a deck. I'd also respectfully submit that the current parking field along Skidmore and the parking along Toff Street are underutilized. Staff has basically surveyed those parking, and during peak hours, they're not fully utilized. So based on analysis that 25 spaces are required by this restaurant, it's our professional opinion that there's sufficient parking within 1 minute to 5 minute walk. Best practices with regards to any downtown, a 1 to 5 minute walk is reasonable for anybody who wants to basically is going for a destination. This is a destination business. So based on our professional opinion, there is sufficient parking for at least one additional restaurant in Antioch. Respectfully, I would submit there's probably sufficient parking for additional restaurants in Antioch. So to argue or to contend there's no parking for approximately 9,800 square foot restaurant, that all parking is completely maximized in Antioch, I don't think that's an accurate reflection of the empirical evidence with regards to parking capacity in Antioch.
Okay, and I would agree with you on a lot of that, except if we have that much parking, then why are we giving away municipality parking?
Okay, well, that's a separate discussion that obviously the board has to have. It's probably regards, I'll perhaps allow the applicant to basically provide you an analysis of why they're seeking this. I think it's really generally, it's a combination of convenience. Frankly, it's adjacent to their business. They have a separate access on this parking lot. So I think just from a business practice perspective, it's a combination of convenience and also practicality for this. As you recall, staff did analyze that approximately a year ago when the previous applicant did come before the village board with a very quick sketch. Mm-hmm. We did do an analysis, and based on my recollection, that parking lot was never utilized more than 50%, even during peak hours on a Friday or a Saturday night. So again, I think it's accurate to say that that parking lot is underutilized currently. And I think that was our representation when the previous applicant did come before the board with a very rough concept. Mm-hmm. As I recall, the applicant really did not have extensive drawings. They literally had a crayon drawing. Mm-hmm. and did not really proceed with the full analysis that this applicant is going before this village board with.
Okay, so what about the rooftop? We have somebody that was here that asked for a rooftop on their place.
Who's that, Jay? Just be more specific, you're saying. Who was that?
We had Anastasia's wanted to do a rooftop.
I don't remember coming in front of this board.
I don't remember that coming before.
I don't think it ever went to the
board. Never came in front of this board.
They were told before it got to the board.
I respectfully, Trustee, I can't speak to previous applicants. I don't think it's unusual in vibrant downtowns to have restaurants with second floor outdoor eating. I can think of probably a half a dozen examples, in dynamic or vibrant downtowns. Obviously, there's obviously the applicant, the owner will have some responsibility to make sure there's maintaining all safety, but that's inherently true with any business owner.
I would agree with you there. I go to 15 different cities and there's rooftops. I just want to make sure that we're playing by the same rules, number one. Number two, that building is, how old is that building? Can it support a second tier? I mean, I'm not an architect, so I haven't seen anything that said, architecturally this thing's strong enough to do that.
That's a fair point. The applicant's architect is here, and I believe they have had a structural analysis of that. It's my understanding the building would support the second floor, but I'll defer to the partnership's architect, who's actually here this evening, to answer that question.
Okay. And I'll wait to hear from him.
Trustee Pearson.
I'm
Well, first of all, I just want to say I've never heard from Anastasia's about a rooftop, and I would entertain anything Anastasia wants to bring before us, as long as it conforms to what the rules are. Second of all, back to Trustee Joswiak's question about the parking there. It's not a matter of being underutilized, it's a matter of displacement. You're displacing the people that currently use it to go to the pet shop, to go to the other stores, to go to the movie theater. So if we are going to displace people of that nature, in that we have to do things, we have to make sure that we have a plan that makes it just as convenient and for them to park and go to the dog groomers, or to go to the movie theaters. We have to make sure, to your point, that parking is enforced in front of Oliveri's, and that was brought up earlier today. So I think the question of parking needs to be fully addressed as how we're going to handle this if we displace those current business owners for a new business. The plan before us tonight, if I am correct, is not for us to be discussing the public donation or whatever you want to call it towards the improvement of it, but to whether we feel that a rooftop would be good, whether a beer garden would be good, whether we would approve the plan that they're presenting for the building. I think it's a exciting opportunity for the village to have that area that has really been black and white for so many years. And as you drive by it, it held a lot of sentimental value, but it never did anything for the village. And our decision tonight should be, does this do something for the village? Does this site plan work for the village? I think a rooftop would be exciting. I think a beer garden would be exciting. I don't know if we're answering the parking displacement issue. And I'm not really saying much, I guess. So.
Well, again, based on staff's analysis, even if you put it aside, if there was completely absolutely no support for a conditional license, which you're correct, would be potentially considered by the board sometime in the future, there would still be sufficient parking within a 1 minute walk for this proposed site. That's based on staff's analysis. Obviously, if the existing parking lot on Park Avenue was public, maintained to be public, potentially there would be some spaces available for patrons of this business.
And I will say that I was in Libertyville, shame on me, 2 weeks ago, eating dinner at one of their restaurants there, and people were fighting for the parking spaces no matter where they were, and they were walking 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They were getting stuck in parking lots trying to turn around because their restaurants were exciting, they were happy, there were good food there, the stores were open, things were going on. And so all those parking spaces that they had good signage to were being used and being fought over. And people were willing to walk that little bit of extra walk. But if I'm coming in with my dog in the morning to have it groomed, I want to drop it off, run in there real quick, drop the dog and come back. I don't know if I'm willing to go back behind by the band shell and park back there and struggle my way up the band shell, I mean through that little walkway, breezeway, where the gazebo is, and make it there. So, I mean, I have no objection to using public funds to do something that makes the village better. I have no objection to making a parking lot that makes the village better. I have to struggle with, though, what do we do to those we're displacing?
But that's, I mean, again, that's contingent on the support of whether support to do a conditional license. But again, staff would be more than happy to work with all the businesses on Main Street to basically improve the access to existing Skidmore. I think we're partially doing that with improved wayfinding signage. And I think there's opportunities to improve the access to that existing municipal parking lot, which is underutilized for all the businesses along Main Street. But again, it's a policy issue of whether the board supports a conditional license. Staff support for this proposed site plan is now premised on solely a conditional license for the parking lot on Park Avenue.
And so if it's not based solely upon the conditional parking lot on Park Avenue, why would you recommend this to the board? What would you, what facets would you look at as your recommendation?
Well, I think it's just summarized what I've already outlined. I believe there is a sufficient or surplus parking within a 1 minute walk. I think that based on the convenience.
Parking aside. We've already had lots of discussion about parking.
I agree.
What is this bringing to the village? Why should we be considering giving them the parking lot? What is the improvement it's making? What is it doing for us?
I'm sorry, you don't want to address parking, or you do want to address parking?
I want to know what this overall Rivalry Ale House is doing to make the village better. Why would we discuss it in the first place?
Okay. Well, as you recall, that we completed a strategic plan recently, and one of the aspects that our consultant identified that's critically important for the village is what we call this concept of the third place, which is really quite big on millennials. It's really trying to attract those what we call anchor businesses, whether it's a Love and Oven or additional restaurants, which will draw not only the community residents who live in this village, but also other, our what we call our 15-minute trade area to downtown Antioch to make it a more dynamic and vibrant area, which obviously has ripple effects from an economic development perspective. So the more restaurants, the more retail, the more vitality you're able to attract to a downtown, it does have economic development ripple effects. We would submit respectfully that we think, based on the square footage, based on the investment of this project, based on the two outdoor eating areas, and that's truly an anchor to downtown Antioch. And therefore, we think it's a commercial anchor for downtown, consistent with what we've done with Love and Oven.
Can I answer further?
Sure.
So just to add on to Michael's answer, in our strategic planning, this kind of thing, and when we did the visioning process and took data, this was called out for better amenities in the downtown, and restaurants were specifically targeted. The other thing that makes this, what I'll say, attractive to a village would be the expansion of tax base. So when somebody puts millions of dollars into a property, it's going to affect the real estate tax. So there will be more tax money generated. It will also generate sales tax. It will also fill a hole. The building's been for sale for, I don't know if it's been several years, at least a few years. And it fills that hole with a more attractive cap to the Main Street downtown block. So that's why I think we're entertaining this, because it does all of those things.
Okay. And I will agree that when I was knocking on doors during the last election, almost everybody to a T said, you got to do something about downtown. You got to make it better. You got to get restaurants here that my family can go to eat at. What I envision is, there's debate over whether there's going to be a bar or a restaurant. When I'm reading it, strikes me more being a Timothy O'Toole's, such as they have down in Lake Villa or something to that effect. So I think we're answering people by trying to get something better in here that does act, as you say, act as an anchor. But I am also getting a lot of comments. Are we doing it at the expense of the taxpayers at the $200,000? That is, I'm getting a lot of comments of those. And the reason I wanted to bring up Kunis earlier was to show that at that spot we're using tax dollars to make that area better, the Boylan piece. Out at 173, the commercial
IDI,
thank you. We're spending millions of dollars to make that viable and better, to bring in property taxes and stuff. And the more that we make viable here, the more that people will come here, and the more that people come here, the more opportunity we have to have a rec center that Diane was asking about earlier, the more opportunity we have to build more roads and build more sidewalks and build more big buildings that everybody benefits from.
This would be a classic case of economic development and public-private partnership to have know, catalytic business come in, hopefully that attracts other businesses or attracts people to town that will indirectly support other businesses, buy gas here, visit another store, or go to a show, what have you. So, you know, there are many, many positives here. You know, it's up to the village board whether, you know, and I know we're not having that conversation tonight, but the question as to whether that's a wise expenditure of public funds is in your realm. But the positives are numerous here. And it is, again, in accordance with the strategic initiative of, you know, targeting downtown businesses and providing that amenity.
Okay, so two more questions, then I'll be quiet and let other people ask questions. If we were to approve giving them the property for
we're
licensing it to him. If the business was to go out of business or change, who would be responsible for returning that licensed property back to its original state?
It would be the applicant's responsibility.
Okay. And then my second question is, if we move further along, this is probably a question for the next board meeting, the next meeting, but I'm going to ask it tonight because I've had a lot of questions about this. What happens if they go, we give them $200,000, they spend their $1.6 million of their money doing this, and they get going, and something happens, they go out of business within a year. What happens to our $200,000 investment?
It's similar to the way the Love and Oven deal was structured, there'd be a repayment schedule.
Secured by a mortgage.
Secured by a mortgage.
Okay.
That's the last one. Any
questions? Just some comments, more or less. If we gave some of those parking spots up for the outdoor seating, I would be more comfortable with the other ones remaining public that are still there for use for the restaurant, but for use for whoever else got there first. So not specific to the restaurant, but I don't have an issue with giving up part of that. I've explained before that this is a key piece of the downtown because when you drive into town, you see that building. And if you can beautify that building coming downtown, you know, that's the first thing that you see when you enter because there's a big gap between the old Floral Acres and that road and that spot because of the road and the parking lot and the setback to that other building. So when you're coming going north, you see that building. And their proposal makes that very attractive to coming downtown. And so it's a destination place and people will come down there and it's gonna make those other businesses better. Regarding the financial part of it, if there is a financial part of it for the village, that gets paid back quickly in property taxes, like you mentioned, and sales taxes. That comes back. If it stays as it is, we're getting nothing. There's no, I mean, a little property tax and no sales tax. That starts to come in, like with Love and Oven. Like you said, there's a payback schedule on that if they go out of business within 5 years. But I think there's a couple of the Hannah's building that's Love and Oven now, the Flo's building. Those are key pieces of town because you can see them not only when you're directly in front of them, like most of the stores on Main Street, but you can see that from a distance as you're coming in. So that's a big thing. The other thing is, and I heard somebody mention earlier what is this doing for the people of the town? It's making your property values go up to your houses. When people drive by and they see the town flourishing and buildings going up, looks a lot better than if the theater would have been empty and we never would have helped them out, or if the Love and Oven's empty and the Flo's building's empty and everything's empty and someone's going downtown saying, why do I want to move here? It's a ghost town. Everything's falling apart. There's nothing here. So it makes property values go up. The things we've done, I mean, we've got Tractor Supply coming with the things we've done with IDI. How many years ago was it when we didn't have a road program that we had no money, no dollars, we didn't do roads?
It was
Five?
About 3 or 4 years ago, we skipped road paving altogether for 2 years.
Okay, and those are all union jobs, so in the last four, 3 years, we've got that up to $1 million of road projects, right?
Last year, we did our about $1 million project, and actually today I opened a bid for $1,058,000.
And those are all union jobs?
Prevailing wage.
Prevailing wage jobs.
I think they are largely union.
So from 5 years ago, when we had none of this, when we didn't do a road program, we've gradually built, I think the first year we came back, we did 300,000 and then like five and then eight and now a million and now over a million. So all these little pieces that we've been doing have been bringing those jobs. So, I would like, and there's more than just that. There's the stuff that went out in front of IDI on the roads out there for the entrances and all that. So all the stuff that's being done, if there is financial consideration, will be paid back in the taxes. And it creates other jobs. It creates jobs by all of the road programs that we've done. And that also brings up your property values, not just the buildings and the beautification of the downtown, which we've done with other things, with putting the clock downtown and things like that. So I think this is a big piece of it because, like I said, that building is so visual as you come downtown. So I think it's a good thing. And again, I was like Scott Pierce. I went to lunch at Mickey Finn's. I parked in one of the parking garages, and it was probably a good 4 minute walk to the building. But I mean, I understood that's what I was going to do when I parked there, and that's what it was.
I just want to mention one thing, Trustee Polis, when you were talking about the road program. We'd like to mention that the past 2 years we've been working on a $600,000 expansion in the IDI facility, which is a company called Handyfoil, which is an $80 million that's in the prevailing wage as part of our agreement. That's an $80 million project. So I want Pete and his builders talking about it. We do care deeply about your union. Mm-hmm. We do play by the rules as this village. We do the Prevailing Wage Act every year. So for you to say that we don't care, we do care.
Can I speak to that?
No, I'm speaking now. You had your...
Okay, can I speak to it afterwards?
You can speak to me afterwards, yes. Okay, it's just so you know.
No, I'm asking if I can speak to the body.
No, not he had his shoes.
No. So.
Okay. Can I speak to the body? You directed something first to me. I'd like to have a
So you want to rebuttal the fact that we have an $80 million project out at IDI?
Yes.
We'll do it at a different time. I just wanted to make it a point. Trustee Dominion.
I don't think that I can add a lot more to what's already been said by Trustee Polis and Mr. Kime and Mr. Garrigan. We certainly know that the residents are looking for an improvement in downtown. We've been working for several years on strategies and tactics to do that. We've established the facade program and other incentives, which are not unique to Antioch. They are found across the country as people are looking at ways to drive economic development. In order for us to be competitive, we have to really take a look at what's being brought into the community, and I think this would be a great asset. To that end, I believe tonight we're voting on the site review. This is not a vote on the parking situation. That'll come at a later date. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, the site plan review.
So at this point in time, I don't have any other comments, and perhaps we can move on to voting on the site plan.
So basically tonight we're just voting on the concept itself, as far as the alehouse concept. Okay, so there's a lot further going forward. So I do also concur that back when we had another gentleman that was here about 2 years ago, I know Trustee Joswiak and I met one Saturday afternoon on that site. Remember that, Jay?
I do.
We walked that site as far as trying to figure out parking for that gentleman. Unfortunately, he decided not to go forward with the project. again, there, I mentioned at a previous meeting that that parking lot has a history, and I can't go back on what I said before, that I am concerned about the fact that that is very viable parking for the downtown. I love the fact that this is a great concept, great restaurant concept, but I do feel for the fact that we just have to be very careful on what we are giving away as far as parking. And again, we're going to address it in a future meeting, but I do like the fact that somebody is trying to do reinvestment on a building in the downtown, so I'd like to see it at least go forward at this point, and I'm sure we'll have many, many more discussions.
Your Honor, the applicant is here with his team. I feel like they have...
And they have some things they can speak to the board. Look, why don't we let them speak, and then we can...
I just have a procedural question for the attorney.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm just asking a quick procedural question. The PCB board voted this in unanimously.
Yeah.
So for us to overturn the unanimous vote, we would have to have a supermajority?
No.
No?
No, the only time the supermajority kicks in is when there's a negative vote.
Oh, when they vote negatively
over
them?
If they said, you know, your idea to put a park on Main Street is a terrible idea, we won't vote for it, that takes a supermajority to overturn that.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Sean Purnell. I'm the architect working with the applicant. The project has been before you previously and before the other board several times. It's been through a few iterations since the last time you've seen it. I expected we would have the overhead here tonight, so apologize that I didn't bring anything larger. But I won't belabor the point because it's late, and Michael already, I think, gave a pretty thorough description of the architectural changes. The applicants have been pretty eager to respond to the questions and the comments from staff, especially relating to the, you know, historical tie-ins with downtown Antioch. There were comments that the building was perhaps too modern and a little too stripped down. So we've, I think, tried to respond to every suggestion and every comment that staff has made regarding the historical context, the cornice line, the arched windows, the inclusion of brick pilasters. All of these elements significantly increase the budget of the process, and I think that's part of the conversation we're having, is are these investments worth it to maintain the historical character of downtown Antioch and to improve it, to bring some modernity to the buildings, but yet to honor the past, the detail, and the civic character of the streetscape in downtown Antioch. I would say the applicants have been eager through the process to respond positively to those changes. I think also we would point out, in terms of the parking, one thing that is unique about that parking lot is that the western tip has a couple parking spaces that could be used, I think, much more effectively for the use that the restaurant is proposing, which is some street level parking. And that also allows us to reorganize the two access points, which is arguably complicated and unsafe, the westernmost access point being so close to the primary street there. So at the cost of only a couple parking spaces and a potentially safer situation, we had discussed with staff that this seemed like a really positive use for that section of the parking lot. We're perfectly happy to respond to any questions specifically about the architecture. One point you did recognize potentially a structural concern. Architecturally speaking, there really won't be any problem. There'll be additional internal support walls that will handle the second floor load. And then obviously after approval here, we would have to comply by all building code, zoning, bringing the entire building up to a current state.
Any questions? Trustee Jasria.
Yes, I just want to be clear. One, we're voting on building concept. We're not voting on money. We're not voting on parking. We're not voting on agreeing to a second story party deck or anything. What do we?
Well, the deck you are, yes. Yeah. That is part of the concept.
Okay. So what it looks like right now, that's what we're voting on. None's ourselves. I mean, I like the concept, building looks nice, you know, my concern is the money, the parking, period. Fairness to everybody, that's all I care about. So I'll probably be there eating, if it happens.
They don't sell Whoppers.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
So you mentioned that the original design was a flat brick building with modernized windows, and we've required you to make additional changes?
I said requested, but it's not a requirement. I think staff voiced concerns that the building wasn't playing real well with the historical character of downtown Antioch. I think the applicant always has the option to say, this is what we want, and that's that. The applicant also can respond to those changes, and I think in a good character back and forth, can present a project that the majority of the board and the staff might feel is more respectful, in better keeping with the direction that Antioch wants to proceed. I'm just representing that I felt, specifically from the applicants, that they were more than eager to take those responses to heart, and we're not trying to sort of strong arm a particular style or something that doesn't fit the character of Antioch.
But what I was trying to get at, our request, the polite request we've made, that's driving up your cost.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the historical cornice line, for example, which is the cap on the building, which adds a lot of detail, the arched windows, I mean, every aspect of the requests typically increase the cost of the construction by hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's no question about that.
I will tell you, I was sitting here on my phone and I had to look up what pilasters were.
Okay.
You know, so.
It's educational.
Yeah. Anything else? Anything?
No, thank you.
Okay. Do we have any other questions about the concept? So. Well, I don't have a motion yet.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
We lost it a long time ago.
Mary, I mean, it's a
okay. All right. So we do have a motion and a second to accept the concept of this proposal. So, roll call.
Jozwiak?
Yes.
Pierce?
Aye.
Polis?
Yes.
Dominiak?
Yes.
Four voting yes, motion is carried. Okay. Can we have an action?